The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Not much happening today, so don't expect a super exciting show, but I can discuss with you guys. Chill out. Photos of JD Vance memeing himself into Halloween. I don't know. I don't like this shit. I don't like when people who are not from the internet pose as being from the internet. There's something that feels not genuine about this. And these JD Vance memes, although I found it funny, you know, this fat JD Vance face with the curly hair at the beginning. It's getting old, and it's very clear that it's a test for the army of J.D. Vance to plan his election as a president for 2028. So I always feel extremely awkward promoting J.D. Vance memes, because I know there's a political machine behind it. Guy Slapkins has sent a question. He says, "Jeff, males are not objectively the losing side of polygamy for the same reason why the ratio of sexes converges to 50-50. That 5% of male offspring that reproduce will win so hard they make up for the rest. Investing too much energy in form of parental care of male offspring may not be a winning move in such societies, though." Well, first, I've never said this, so I don't know if you think you're debunking me or if you're debunking someone else, but I've never said that males are the losing side of polygamy. There are certain males that are the losing side of polygamy, but definitely what you say is correct. The fundamentals of the sex ratio are maintained, so that's why males are always equally successful to females, no matter what the breeding mode of the species is, because every baby is made by one male and one female. So it doesn't matter. If it's polygamy and 100 females are having sex with a single male, then that single male is 100 times more successful than the 99 others. So it's always equally worthy to invest in a male than it is to a female. But I would say even your second statement, by your own standard, Guy Slapkins, is also false. No, you don't want to invest more in female offspring for parental care in a polygamous world. Because if you do invest in the male, you are still gambling for that 100x chance of having the one male that will be selected. So the parental investment is equal. You either give it to a female and you're going to get small success, or you give it to a male and then you're going to have a high risk game, but with equal rewards. So everything is equilibrated between males and female always. JR's Electric Guitars says, "Jeff, your wall is starting to look cool." Yeah, I've built a quarter of it. I'm up to a quarter of it. Now you guys can see the idea that I'm headed for. It's going to be like this all the way. I'm very proud of the contrast look that it gives. It's lengthy work. It takes a lot of time to stain each of the blocks, make them each of the same size and then stain them, and then they all come from the same pine planks so that they have this common texture, but they have these different stains, and then stick them one by one and make sure you're random enough, but not too random. Make sure you're laying all of the colors. I think it leads to a great effect. That's exactly what I was aiming for, where you have pale colors that are shining and more dark colors that are still showing some texture of the wood. And then you have super dark colors that are showing no texture because they're too dark. That's exactly what I was aiming for. And the square effect is quite something, you know. It makes a grid, but it's a grid imbued with the beauty of natural wood. That is what I wanted to do. That is what I had in my mind. The glue, some of the blocks I've left have been detached. The glue isn't reacting very well. I've been using PL Premium. PL Premium normally is very hard, but it doesn't dry fast enough, and it doesn't stick very well to the blue plastic. So I've opted instead for now with duct tape. Duct tape is always, it's amazing how very often it ends with duct tape. No matter what you do, you always end up with duct tape. So I've made some inverted duct tape rolls. And now each square is held by basically a duct tape. It just turned out to be more solid than my glue. I may complement with glue, but liquid nails. Liquid nails is pretty much the same as PL Premium. These things don't dry very fast, and I don't know. They don't like the surface of the subfloor roll that I used as a blue background. So. Anyways, duct tape seems to be doing quite a good job. I may supplement with crazy glue once everything is stable, but it certainly holds them in place properly. End of the line, Joel says, the QR code behind JF is coming together nicely. It will link to the blockchain. Oh, that would have been a good idea. And I featured my battery-powered torch. Collector item, Minecraft official torch. I think I bought this for about $60 or $70 on Amazon. It's a beautiful effect. Absolutely beautiful. Pixelated. Kids Dead says Gorilla Glue works. I mean, I even have some Gorilla Glue, but it's not been doing awesome. I don't know. Maybe it's too cold in my studio. But they've not been drying super quick, so I'm at the duct tape level at this point. Maj Noon Vids says, "Hi JF, what are the differences, if any, between moral nihilism and hedonism?"
JF, as a fan, I want to ask for more movie reviews. JF, as a fan, I want to ask for more movie reviews. They are still a culture mover in some ways, and I'd like to hear your views on them. What have you seen recently?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do more movie reviews, but there needs to be movies. What I've seen recently, I've not watched novel movies very much. I've rewatched Idiocracy. I've rewatched Jurassic Park 1 recently. I mean, the problem of movies is that they don't create very good movies that require that demand a 1 hour review anymore. So and I tend not to want to redo a movie review. If I've done one in the past, I'm not going to redo it for the same movie. So that culture is really low level these days. I don't know that there are any good movies coming out. Sometimes I try to go on these tomato meters and look the best movies of this year or last year, and it's all absolute crap. There's the wokeness that has invaded Hollywood, but it's not just the wokeness. It's also that the scripts are not interesting anymore. They're not profound. And the work is botched these days. Joe Blixom says the problem is they have women writing the scripts now. That might be a problem. I mean, we've had a male-dominated field, and it gave good products. Now everything is more at the feeling level. It's like now you go to a movie to get a feel. Movies are about feels. It's bizarre. Like to me, I can enjoy the story of a movie even if I don't see the movie. I don't care about the visuals. I don't care that much about the acting, the how it's done. To me, a movie can be good if you just if I go to Grok and I say, "Can you do a summary of this movie?" I can enjoy a summary of a movie. To me, that's what I want to see. When I go see a movie, I want to see a story, a piece of art that tells me something explicitly. Like it has been designed to have me think these ideas. But these days, movies are all about feels and social situations and tensions at the social level. It's all very small. Anytime I have an idea, anytime I see a movie that is worth reviewing, I will be happy to review. The Jack Acid says, I'm ready to just tell AI to make me the movie I want to see. We'll get there, absolutely. AI movies are coming. We've seen with my experiments that AI music is already up there. AI small short videos are getting pretty good. So someone is going to be able to make up a full movie with fully AI production eventually. Now, to come back to the question of Majnun, what are the differences between moral nihilism and hedonism? Those are two absolutely different things. They are absolutely unrelated. Moral nihilism is the meta-ethical belief that morals aren't subject to the characteristic truth or false. Now, that's a position that doesn't engage you as a person into any behavior. It's just the position that when we say something is true or false, we can mean it in various ways, but none of these ways are relevant to the moral world. So to me, I distinguish between two types of truths. We can call them the theoretical truths that are exploring axiomatic systems in your mind without any interfacing with the world. So that's, for example, mathematics, geometry. So if you start with a couple of axioms like Euclid, you get into, okay, well, triangles have this property, angles have this property. You are exploring the world of mathematics through maintaining consistency with the axioms, and it all can happen internally. Then there's the world of empirical truths, and there's a world of theory. So you're an agent. You have theories in your mind about the world. Some of these theories will come to be eliminated by your observations. Some of them are compatible with your observations. That is the coherence between axioms and internal truths at the mathematical level, in the mathematical truths, is replaced in empirical truths in terms of your internal theories and predictions of the world are compatible with the empirical observations. And now, if you have two agents, you can have intersubjective empirical truths. You can have two agents saying, we agree, we see the same thing, the sun is there, and it's heating up. That is an empirical truth, and you can therefore agree on empirical truth between two subjects. Now, moral truths, so-called moral truths, I don't acknowledge them. I don't think that the word truth applies, because morals, whatever ethical judgment you may have about some action or something you may want to do, those are subject to arbitrary axiom selections. So therefore, and there's no way for, if two people have different axioms, there's no way to say this one is right, this one is wrong. There's no objective moral. So the first step of moral nihilism is the denial of the idea that there is an objective source to morals being one way or another, being true or false. There's no objective source. So anything goes in terms of self-justification. Now, I'm not saying that I have all morals and that I think everything is moral. That's a lot of people misunderstand this about moral nihilism. It doesn't bind you to find anything in particular to be wrong or good. It really just says whatever you find is wrong or good, it's going to be by standards of yours. It's not going to be by standards that are outside of you. And there's no way to arrimate your moral world to an objective standard. All you can have, just like the empirical truths in a way, all you can have is intersubjective agreements on morals. Now, you can say, I like strawberry ice cream, and my friend likes strawberry ice cream. Therefore, when we're together, there's an internal truth developing in our group that is we all like strawberry ice cream. And you might as well say strawberry ice cream is good. And you can think it's objective, but it's not objective. It's just that you've agreed with some other subjective agent. So that is moral nihilism in short. Moral ethical systems boil down to preferences, subjective preferences. And there's this forever loop that you will engage in if you don't believe this, which is you're going to say, oh, well, no, I think I found the ultimate way to organize society, and it must be based on reciprocity and justice. But then this begs the question always, who decides what is just and what is reciprocal? And there's always a flaw. There's always something you had to assume to get to this. And David Hume knew this. But the field of philosophical ethics has developed kind of ignoring David Hume and on certain branches, on those that have not accepted moral nihilism, when in fact I believe moral nihilism is merely a factual statement about philosophical ethical systems. I believe it can only be that way. And a lot of philosophers in modern times, they try to justify other things or get outside of the Hume guillotine, but they really don't succeed. They sweep it under the rug. Now, hedonism, that's a different thing. Hedonism is merely while moral nihilism was strictly on the meta-ethical philosophical beliefs, hedonism is strictly in the self-choice and preferences domain. So you can be an hedonist and a moral nihilist, but you can be an hedonist and a consequentialist or a deontologist. Hedonism is merely the idea that the pursuit of happiness and feeling good and pleasure is what life is about. And it's a strong guider of your pursuits. I'm personally the opposite of a hedonist. I'm more of a guy who actually kind of enjoys suffering, kind of enjoys doing stuff that is hard. The problem of hedonism is it catches you in a trap of lack of productivity, of just pleasure, but you pursue nothing in the process. To me, I kind of enjoy suffering. I enjoy dedicating huge parts of my life to massive goals that are high risk, that are pursuits that are worth it to me, not because they make me feel any pleasure, but because I think they're true. So that's I'm certainly not a hedonist. John Garas says, moral nihilism means there is no universal morality. Hedonism is pleasure maxing. Yep, as simple as this. There is a debate emerging on the internet. Is Miss Universe or Sydney Sweeney more beautiful? And a lot of people are like, because the debate seems to emerge mostly, it begins with women. And women are like, well, objectively, Miss Universe is more beautiful, or else, you know, Sydney Sweeney would be Miss Universe. And Miss Universe has all these perfect features, you know, extremely, extremely curvy hair around the belly, up down to the hips, perfect boobs, extremely thin, bones out, Barbie face. And you would think those are perfect features. I mean, but a lot of men are saying, careful ladies, we do love the warmth and girl next door kind of look of Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney is, that's how she looks. Yeah, she's not objectively as perfect as Miss Universe, but she shows interesting features. And yeah, I would say I agree with the guys, the Sydney Sweeney fans. There is something that Sydney Sweeney has in terms of warmth and accessibility, maybe. Yeah, and of course, they took the worst photo of Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney can look kind of like Miss Universe. But that's from a post supporting Miss Universe, so I'm not surprised. But there is something about achieving this level of beauty of Miss Universe that is actually red flaggish. You know, first, these women are they could choose whichever male they want in the world, and so to begin with, it's less relatable. Like you're not gonna marry Miss Universe. So already it's a turn off. But even if you had a chance with a woman like this, the achievement of that level of thinness and kind of overly perfect looks is actually everyday work. And it shows that the female has engaged in a massive amount of self-sacrificial pursuits just to look like this. And very often it will be a measure of narcissism, of perfectionism, but, you know, kind of a pathological perfectionism. So you have to be careful with these women because they will have a high, high level of self-valuation. Yeah, they look kind of weird. Like there's something that feels non-natural with Miss Universe. There's something that this Barbie face with, it seems that she has had some degree of lip surgery. Those are very high cost, high maintenance, and high pathology woman. Not saying that Sydney Sweeney has no pathology. I'm sure she does, because the pursuit of being an actress itself is almost just as bad as being a top model. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful with these women. They are broken inside. You have to be kind of broken inside to pursue this level of perfection. Majnoon says, thank you for your answer. However, pleasure maxing is pure subjective morality, though. If you enjoy suffering, then when you suffer, you are still a hedonist. Well, then like the problem, I understand this talking point. I've heard it before. The problem with this view is then you have replaced the subjective experience of pleasure with the effective observation of your revealed preferences. Now, you can do that if you want, but it's definitely separate. There are people will pursue things, and people will experience pleasure or pain as a result of it. And it's not one-to-one. Yes, in general, we don't want pain, but it's not one-to-one. Some people will choose painful paths more easily. Some people will be less averted to pain in certain circumstances. And then what I would suggest to you is that it's not hedonism to be pursuing any, because if you pursue anything, you pursue, you kind of create a circular definition here. Whatever you pursue is what makes you pleasurable. Whatever you pursue is my definition of your pleasure. Well, now you've just circularly defined choice. And now anything I do, including if I suffer greatly through it, you will call pleasure because I did it. Well, you might as well abandon the word pleasure at this point and then call it what it is, which is choice. Now, here's the problem. Everyone chooses everything at all seconds of their lives. Even if you lay on the couch doing nothing, that's your choice. You did it. That's your revealed preference. You preferred laying on the couch than going outside and fucking Miss Universe. You prefer laying on the couch doing nothing than going out there and trying to get a shot at Miss Universe. Now, the problem with this is then everyone is an hedonist because everyone chooses exactly what they do at exactly every second. Safer Tricks says, JF, what kind of woman is your type? I mean, in terms of looks. I like a thin, geek, brown, dark hair woman. I don't want a woman that displays beauty too much. To me, a short, thin, simple, geeky woman. This is why I'm building this whole... This is my woman trap, okay? I'm building right now this whole Minecraft background decor because I would like my next girlfriend to be a superb, beautiful Minecraft... player woman, maybe 18 years old, 20 years old. And I want to attract her with this because I've been observing these kind of crow birds that are gathering little pieces of things to impress the female. And I'm gathering Minecraft collectibles right now because I want my next girlfriend to be a super Minecraft geek. You know, the kind who plays so much Minecraft, she doesn't even eat. And so she gets thin and she's going to be like geeky looking. She's going to be always on the computer. Sometimes she's going to have to stop the computer so I can get some sex. That's my target right now. That's my woman trap that I'm setting up. Bruto says, celui qui opte pour la belle femme a le même problème que celui qui cultive son maïs au bord du chemin. Ah, the idea that if you cultivate corn at the border of the road, you end up having to face the winds. Your corn gets attacked by the wind. And this is metaphorically the same thing that you must face when you face dating a high beauty woman. Thomas Howard says, Jeff, some years ago, I recall you had a falling out with Nick Fuentes. You produced a stream delineating 25 plus points Fuentes should implement to shore up his fundamental position. Have you considered revisiting these points in light of his current success? Did any of them help in his situation? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, I had made these points back then, not as a crush of the Gripers, but more as a counseling, as a kind of Machiavellistic analysis of of why the Gripers were getting pushed out of the mainstream, why... that there was even some degree of dropping under the bus, if I remember correctly, of Nick Fuentes, of his fans. So yes, I would love to go back to that stream and rewatch it. I don't remember at all which were the 20 points. I think it was 20 points, but I would have to rewatch to see to what extent has the Groyper movement changed. Were they influenced by some of these points? Have they learned from it? I don't even remember. Were they useful points? I would have to check. Some people are paranoid about the rise of Nick Fuentes and how all of these people seemingly have decided to put him forward. Tucker, Alex Jones, PBD, GOP/MAGA establishment employed control opposition hoaxers like Tucker, PBD, and Alex Jones of the world to bait Nick Fuentes into playing the role of the dirty snake for them so they can play the final role of a phoenix rising from its ashes every single time. It's a possibility. I wouldn't be too paranoid about the fact that Nick Fuentes is rising. Is it a trap? Is it some rug that they intend to pull at some point? Maybe they will, maybe they will. But it doesn't really matter. It's still a victory. It's still a victory that crowds that were not necessarily influenced by, not necessarily accessing Nick Fuentes content, they get to hear about him from their Tucker Carlson and their Alex Jones. That's totally fine. It's to be celebrated. Hinkle Dinkle says, "Hey Jeff, I'm a Norwegian and I have half Thai, half Norwegian girlfriend. She is very tall, 175, and she can cook and she works hard. She also had Bitcoin. Should I try to inseminate?" Absolutely. There is no... The answer to your question is yes, always. Doesn't matter that she's half Thai, half Norwegian, or whether she has Bitcoin or not. Inseminate now. Inseminate now. There's nothing to gain with time. There's nothing to gain of losing the time of your life not having babies. So you inseminate and then you handle the situations as they come. There's no reason. What is the only valid reason where you would not inseminate? It's, let's say that you have a very clear path of life and you don't have money yet, but you know exactly you're going to have more money in 2 years from now. Like I was in a situation with Mama JF where I had to rise a little bit on YouTube, make sure I had good savings, capable of buying a house, etc. So we did delay like 6 months, a year. But other than this, inseminate always. It's like all the babies you don't have are meaningless. The only thing that matter are the babies you're going to have. Inseminate, absolutely. Majnun says about his circular definition of hedonism. Yes, I am in a circular definition. I can't see how to escape it. This is why I am asking. Yes, everybody is hedonist. Moral nihilism seems true and seems to confirm there is nothing more than hedonism. Well, just start by using the right words. You know, hedonism is not the right word to describe people make choices. So people make choices is called revealed preferences. That's how it's called in economics. People make choices. Why? Because people have degrees of freedom. Why do they have degrees of freedom? Why don't snails make choices? I mean, snails make choices in a certain domain. They choose to go left or right. They choose to go food or sleep or whatever. But why don't snails choose their car? But it's because snails have not evolved this degree of freedom that would allow them to enjoy a car. We do. So we have choices because we have degrees of freedom. We have degrees of freedom because nature made us that way. Because if we didn't have degrees of freedom, we would always end up doing the wrong thing at the wrong moment. So That's it. Why is there choice? Well, there's choice because life didn't want you to always do the exact same thing. Like, okay, eating is good. You need to eat. You need to choose your food. But there is a point at which you need to choose to stop eating food also. There's a point at which you have to go do other things. Because if your brain was locked in, if you didn't have degrees of freedom, you would always be wanting to eat. But then you would be, then this food will not serve anything because there would be no point at which you stop eating to go do something else that's useful to your survival and reproduction. So the diminished returns of repeated activities is why we have degrees of freedom. It's why the snail has been given the power to veer right or left or right. It's why we have been given the power to care about food at one point and then 1 hour later care about sex and then 1 hour later care about work. Magister Templi says, well, yeah, animals are between humans and rocks/minerals. What do you expect? Tales of the Riverbank? Lol. I don't know what that means. Based Saxon says, Jeff, what do you think about Canadian nationalist groups like Second Sons, Based, or Cringe LARPers? I don't judge them. Do whatever it is that you need to do to have community. And I don't engage in these groups, but I don't judge them negatively either. Generally, the whole let's meet in person and do physical stuff, that is something that's outside of my domain because I don't need much of a big community. I do like 3, 4, 5 occasions for real life interactions per week, but not more. And so I don't need a group to which I go every Friday to celebrate whiteness. I don't need that, but I'm a geek. Like I'm an internet native geek. I understand that there are other people who need that kind of stuff, and sure, let's do it and enjoy your local organizations and your socialization opportunities as part of the process. People are going at the Heritage Foundation trying to, because the Heritage Foundation came out, and it's a kind of bizarre position they took on Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, because they were like, oh, we encourage free speech and free debate and free discourse, but we condemn and abhor what Nick Fuentes has been saying. So it's like, okay, they condemn but celebrate the platforming, which is fine. But why condemn? Why condemn? Because then Nick Fuentes asks them, so what are you condemning? What is it that you find abhorrent in what I say? And it's like they came out with, oh, well, we don't like the anti-Semitism. We don't like your references to rape, your musings on rape. And it's like, well, a lot of this is jokes. A lot of what they highlighted was jokes. Perhaps their only true disagreement, therefore, is around opposition to Israel. But now Dinesh D'Souza is... Because despite the fact that they tried sitting on the fence, the Heritage Foundation, the Zionists are very pissed off. And so we have Dinesh D'Souza here saying, Mark, anti-Semitism is a very old tradition going back thousands of years, and maybe that is what the Heritage Foundation is attempting to conserve. So you see, even if you condemn Nick Fuentes and anti-Semitism, it doesn't keep you from being represented as pro-anti-Semitism by the Dinesh D'Souza of this world. Which is why I'm not into these half apologies and half denunciation and half celebration of free speech. It's like, choose a side, bro. Because if you don't, the Zionists are going to treat you like you're against them. It doesn't matter. Neymar fan says, Jeff, what are the most right-wing pieces of media? It's hard to say because every piece of right-wing media has their own ways of being right-wing. Like the Heritage Foundation, they are these kind of conservative religious Republicans, very oriented on Christianity and open debate. You have TPUSA, very oriented toward J.D. Vance, soft Zionism. So there's various ways of being right-wing. It's not just a single thing. Ekan Dinkel, he says, I am 21 year old and I have 3 more years of university to become an electrical power engineer. So if I understood your answer, I should wait until I can buy a house. By the way, you're my favorite on the web. Well, it depends on how comfortable you are. How do you see your future? And will a baby totally like annihilate your life? But if you have a way where you can inseminate now and you're confident that along the way it's going to still work, let's say if your girlfriend has everything she needs to take care of the baby, or if you can handle growing into an electrical engineer while she cares for the baby, then I would inseminate right now. Now, given that you're 21 and that you are at the university, Now it's more reasonable. Maybe you can wait, but I wouldn't wait if you can do it. It's all a question of, will a baby keep you? Will a baby put you on the street? And I don't think it will. I think if you are at the university, you're already investing your days going to study, and your girlfriend, what does she do? Is she at the university or is she totally free? If she's free, make her a baby. Make her a baby, and you can absolutely do university while you have a baby with her. And if she has Bitcoin on top of it, then you're going to be able to do the transition and buy a house, even with the baby. Marby Dog says, I am Catholic, but JF is my right wing. You don't need a house to have a baby. Absolutely, that's... I would agree with this. Sharp says, I only have a 109 IQ, but I called out JF. He has good hair for 10 years. But what did you call me out on? I don't understand. But anyway, and I also have loads of Bitcoin. Okay. I have cows. I have a bull. What are you talking about, bro? You're bragging about your animals. People are talking a lot about Erica Kirk. Because Erica Kirk has been very warm to J.D. Vance, celebrating J.D. Vance. It's very clear that TPUSA is positioning itself under the control of Erica Kirk to be rooting for J.D. Vance in 2028.
I am tremendously blessed and honored tonight to be able to introduce to you a very, very dear friend and his wife. They are incredible. And I see no one will ever replace my husband. No. But I do see some similarities of my husband in JD and Vice President JD Vance. I do. And that's why I'm so blessed to be able to introduce him tonight. He's an amazing man. So please help me welcome to the stage Vice President JD Vance. I am.
So it's very clear what's happening. It's that Charlie Kirk, no matter if we can speculate about certain change of hearts he may have had late in life before dying, it remains the case that Charlie Kirk, and we now have the evidence, that he was a Nick Fuentes hater that he was really trying to cement an opposition to Nick Fuentes and even rooting privately for the deplatforming of Nick Fuentes and for ignoring him as an illegitimate voice. And therefore, TPUSA will continue largely within the line that was drawn by Charlie Kirk, which is a center-right conservative movement seeking to support J.D. Vance. This is what you're going to get. Marby Dog says, Jeff, is Erica a woman of low morals or a honeypot meant to capture J.D. Vance? Well, she is not a woman of low morals nor a honeypot, but she is probably just positioned right there. In line with Charlie Kirk's desire, she will just continue the will of Charlie Kirk, which was to elect J.D. Vance in 2028. Now, it's going to be interesting what happens with this. Is Nick Fuentes going to be in some sort of an alliance? Because he seemed to be spouting, never J.D., never J.D. But what happens if... Because now we have kind of an alliance emerging between the J.D. Vance side of the Republican Party and Nick Fuentes and the Groypers. Now, it's not been talked as such explicitly yet, but I'm seeing it appear. I'm seeing it and I'm calling it in advance for you guys, okay? Tucker Carlson was there at the nomination of J.D. Vance. And Tucker Carlson was one of the people around Trump pushing very hard for J.D. Vance. So Tucker Carlson can be seen as part of the J.D. Vance circle. Now, when Tucker Carlson invites Nick Fuentes on his show, what does that mean? And I've seen a recent show of Nick where he was saying, J.D. Vance, do not soil the Groyper reputation. Do not disavow the Groypers. Now, that's very weird to hear this because historically, Nick Fuentes has been a never Vance. Now, if you're never Vance a year or two ago, but today you say, do not disavow me, J.D. Vance. Well, you're not a never Vance anymore. It seems that Nick Fuentes is showing some degree of openness to form an alliance where he would be within the respectable voices of the Republican Party supporting J.D. Vance in 2028. I'm calling it now. I don't know that Nick will be hardline for the next 4 years, up to 2028. I think that Nick may soften his position and he may kind of make a deal. The kind of deal that he may have pulled with Joe Kent of just, we're going to support you, but just don't disavow us. It was very weird to me to hear Nick Fuentes say, don't disavow us. Because that's what Nick Fuentes says to his allies. Now, if J.D. Vance is the sworn enemy of Nick Fuentes, why would he say this? It would be normal for J.D. to disavow him if he's a sworn enemy. I think that what we may be seeing arising is a form of tacit or perhaps even explicit alliance between a J.D. Vance that will have marketed himself as non-Zionist, as welcoming of the Groyper to some extent, as not so much kneeling to Israel, not so much the protege of David Frum. And perhaps with this softening, J.D. Vance may attract an alliance with the Groypers and Nick Fuentes, and Nick Fuentes might be willing to soften his own side and say, oh, you know what? We judged him on him having a history with David Frum, but it seems to me that J.D. is the right choice because he committed to A, B, C, or whatever. Because everything around J.D. Vance in the last year has been basically de-Zionizing him. He's trying to make it... I'll be back. Okay. There were kids that rang the doorbell for Halloween, and I didn't decorate at all, so I didn't expect that there would be kids. But I still had I had a few candies. I gave them out, but I live in such a distant place. I don't think we're gonna get much ringing. But I've been running. So I need to catch my breath. Ah, Halloween. They saw the Minecraft torch through the window. Yeah, maybe my woman trap for catching a Minecraft geek has been already starting having its effect. So yeah, what I'm seeing is a potential change of heart by Nick Fuentes if he's faced with more acceptability. If he has a Dinesh D'Souza willing to interact with him, a Tucker Carlson willing to interact with him, a Candace Owens. All of this may contribute to a softening of his position. And I don't know, maybe we'll get to see a kind of situation in which Nick Fuentes is not rejected from the mainstream. Marby Dog says, Vice President Fuentes, that's a little hard. That's a little hard. I'll be back. I didn't put any decoration. Normally, you shouldn't be ringing at a house that has no decoration. Hopefully we don't get too much disruption. But anyways, I was headed toward the conclusion of the show soon. So yes, Vance, confronted by the gripers, says that the U.S. has put leverage on Israel when challenged by MAGA hat-wearing student. My light Porsche. No, I don't think that my light Porsche is open. Oh yeah, I should put out a bowl of candy. Yeah, so here you had Vance basically trying to make the case to the gripers. We've been pushing on Israel. We've been putting pressure on them. Stark irony, Iran angrily condemns Trump's call to resume U.S. nuclear testing. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas called out the move as both regressive and irresponsible. Trump was calling for the return to the United States to nuclear weapons testing on an equal basis with other countries like Russia and China. This whole nuclear disarmament thing, it's never been true. So it's like, okay, we're going to neutralize a certain portion of our nuclear bombs, but you still have enough nuclear bombs to wipe up the world, right? So it doesn't mean much. Put a bowl of TRP soft covers Yeah, I could. Maybe I could hand some TRP exemplars. Based Saxon says, imagine receiving candy from the author of the Revolutionary Phenotype and not even knowing it. Judges order Trump admin to use emergency funds for food assistance. So yeah, there's this, the whole food stamp system of the U.S. is, well, is not certain. People are afraid that they will not be able to pay the benefits anymore. Set to end on November 1 because of the shutdown. I mean, I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens if this shuts down. You'll have a lot of people in poverty in the U.S. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, why is it wrong to believe that the true problem of the origin of life is the protein folding problem and its immense unlikelihood to arrive in configuration space? This kind of question, I hate. It's like, you know how they say there's no stupid question? Well, it's false. That is stupid. Because the world is always in one way. The world is always in one way. No matter how unlikely, you know, the very concept of unlikelihood is a concept that assumes a fictive world, a fictive space of possibility. And you say, it could have been that other way, but it's not. And it's like, it doesn't matter how do you want to quantify something extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely? Consider the ensemble of all positions of each atom in the universe. And you'll realize that protein folding is just elementary stuff, very easy. Imagine the position of all atoms in all of the universe. Now that is fucking unlikely. And we're not talking one out of a trillion, or we're talking about unquantifiably unlikely that all of the atoms of the universe would be in their current position. And yet no one starts questioning the existence of the universe based on this. No one says, oh, well, it must have been God then, because it was very unlikely that it would be that way. Because it's stupid. It's stupid to say this. Because it had to be in a way. It had to be in a way, and it just turned out that it's that way. Could have been different, but it's not. And people don't do these things when we talk of chemistry and physics. But if you wanted to be consistent, they only do it with life and biology. They're always, oh, look at a protein like the ribosome folded in all these ways. How could it end up that way? Well, the very same way everything else that is extremely unlikely has still ended up in one way, and it had to be in one way. So it ended up being that way. As far as the complications and the emergence of life, you don't know. You don't know how many possible configurations of protein folding would have been viable for a ribosome, or would have been viable for a self-replicating protein, or would have been viable for a replicator tango with an RNA segment. My quick guess is the tRNA are at the center of the translation between the language of RNA and proteins, and therefore what probably the first life form, what it looked like, is some length of protein that is equal to the one encoded in tRNA, which means the tRNAs are about 70 to 90 nucleotides long. So they encode with a triplet. With a triplet, they encode amino acid chains that are 20 to 30 protein long. Now, my guess, therefore, is that there was initially one of the first replicating life form must have been a self-replicating protein of length of about 20 to 40 amino acids. Now, there's a lot of possibilities, but not so much for a 20 to 40 amino acid. It's possible that in a pond where there was a production of millions and millions of these molecules, it's entirely conceivable that the right sequence or one of the right sequences could have been attained by random. So it's a dice game with a 20-sided dice that you roll 40 times. And you don't even have to have a specific sequence because you don't know, you who are questioning the likelihood of life and all, you don't know how many of the configurations could have worked. Because out of the chain of 40 amino acids, they were not all necessary. Maybe the 20th position was not particularly important, and maybe it could be any of the amino acids. Maybe there were some other positions that were very important and they had to be that one amino acid. But people who contest the mathematical likelihood, they don't do it with anything else. What's the mathematical likelihood that the planet Earth would end up with exactly all of the atoms that it has, but none others? That's a much lower likelihood than protein folding, let me tell you. Much lower likelihood. And yet, we are here on planet Earth. And you don't need to invoke God because you have alternative theories on how things could have gone. Every time you roll the roulette VIP, there's one number that comes out of 36 or so or whatever. And if you roll it 5 times, you'll get a series of 5 numbers. How likely was it that exactly these 5 numbers of roulette VIP would be pulled? Very unlikely. And yet it happened because something had to happen. Because there was a croupier and he was throwing the ball and it had to fall on one of the numbers. So it had to be a chain of numbers. Big Time Ape says, there's also the quantum idea that in parallel universes, most of the Earths are sterile and that only a few hours resulted in life forming. Yeah, but you don't even need, whether the parallel universes exist or not, doesn't matter. We're definitely in one in which life occurred. That's it. Just like if you're at a chain of casinos and they roll 5 different rolls of the roulette, you're going to be in a universe in which those 5 numbers happen to be pulled out of a very, very unlikely sequence of event. That is it for tonight, boys. I'm going on vacation for the weekend. I'll continue working on establishing all of my blocks. Much love, everyone. What's this thing? Top fan. Top fan on JFG tonight. You are given a crown. Is it because you chat more? Or you are accumulating XP on YouTube, and the more you chat or the more you comment, I guess, you are declared a top fan. Well, Guitar Jam is the top fan at this moment. We'll see who takes the crown from him. Much love, everyone. Sleep well. I'll go check if there's more children wanting candies. Whoa!